smiling because you get to catch me in one of my necktie moments. Those of you who know me know I look rather strange up here in a tie. Yes, thank you, honey. See, to the wife. Glory to the wife. Amen. Well, what we've been attempting to focus on for the past month is encouraging you in regular devotional times. And Pastor thought the best way to present that was to give you our own experiences of how we take the time out to be alone with the Lord, our quiet times, as some of you may know it to be called. Spending the time with the Lord where we draw strength, where we become in tune with His Word. You know, we face daily the world, the flesh, and the devil in our daily walk as Christians. Now, before you came to Christ, you weren't attacked spiritually, because spiritually you were dead. You were already defeated. But once you came to know Christ, your spirit became revived. Therefore, you became a threat to the darker world, to Satan and his minions. And so I want to talk to you about armoring up. Armoring up. We read in Scripture where many times Jesus had to sneak away himself or rise up very early in the morning to have his quiet time. And before his earthly ministry began, he even took a 40-day hiatus into the wilderness, a time of fasting, a time of prayer, because the ministry and the task at hand required much of it. Needlessly, I have to remind you that Jesus is God. And if God has to take that time out, how much more then should we be attentive to taking that time to be alone with Him? Amen? Amen. Now, there are all kinds of helps out there to get you through your quiet time. We have, like we have out in the lobby here, we have the Our Daily Bread devotionals. Some of you also may have read Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And Dave and I have gotten into this online devotional called Grace Gems. These are old Puritan devotionals. You know, we learned about the Puritans in school, and but we kind of, the way it was presented, it seemed that their lives were very drab and boring. But if my devotionals written by these Puritans tell me anything, these were not drab, dry, joyless people. Okay. So I find a lot of strength and support in reading those devotionals. People like Vincent Thomas, and, recent Puritans, Charles Spurgeon, you know, J.C. Ryle, people like that. So in armoring up, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. They saw me going there already. And we're going to start at verse 10 of chapter 6. Through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If we look at verses 17 and 18, these two particular pieces of advice are the verses that undergird the rest of your walk. Being in the Word of God daily and daily, living with a life that is prayerful. Now, I learned devotions probably late in high school, when I really started to understand the importance of what they're for. And I learned a formula that I followed for the last 35 years that I've embraced, and it's a formula of prayer. Now, I've used our daily breads. I love those. I really love My Utmost for His Highest. I've probably been through that I don't know how many times. And then there are times I just allow the Spirit to speak to me through my own reading of the Word. And having those helps is wonderful. But learn also how to draw from the Word of God, just from the Word of God itself. Okay? Because the commentaries you read on Our Daily Bread is just someone else is drawing from the Word of God. And we are all capable of that if we are in Christ Jesus and filled with His Holy Spirit. I really want to focus on a plan of prayer in your devotions. So, the way I include my prayer is I use praise and adoration to begin, confession, thanksgiving, intercessory prayer, supplications, and then I have one little added thing I tack on. I pray for the persecuted church of Christ. I set aside special time and focus on that. Praise and adoration. If we follow the pattern of the prayer that the Lord taught, that we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer, it begins with praise and adoration. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name, or hallowed be, more commonly heard. You're acknowledging who he is. And it's amazing what happens when you begin to acknowledge who he is in his power, in his personhood. When you confess that in your prayer time, it's amazing how much strength you can draw just from having that knowledge reintroduced to you. Most holy God, worthy of praise, honor, the creator of the universe, the savior of my soul. This recognition prepares me that I can now come to him for anything. Praise and adoration. Next, confession. 1 John reminds us that when we sin, that's a given that we will, one way or the other from day to day, fall off of our holy pedestal and have a conflict of the spirit and the flesh and sin. Confess your sins daily. You're keeping a constant open fellowship with the Lord. Before I go any further with any more of my prayer, I want to address any shortcomings I may have. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear me. Although he wants to deal with anything that you have brought as an offense first. That's important, and it's daily. You know, we look in Job. Job would regularly make sacrifice to the Lord just in case his kids sinned, you know, not, let alone his own sin. Job knew his kids. Well, just in case, let's take care of this, you know. And that's what we're doing. Some sins you may not even know about. You may not remember. I'll ask the Lord to bring to my memory anything, bring to my attention anything that was not pleasing to him in my walk. If I express a certain, any kind of bitterness towards anyone, if I came across as a mean spirit towards anyone, if I had some wayward thoughts I should not have had, because I want my walk to be pure before him. And so you humble yourself into the realization that there's a chance you may have offended the Most High. Once I've done that, thanksgiving. If I was to just go person by person in this room and say, give me something that you're thankful for, we could cross this whole room until tomorrow morning. It would not end. I thank him for being the center of my family. I thank him for shelter. I thank him for food. I thank him for water. I thank him for letting me use his air to breathe. I do. Lord, thank you for your very oxygen. It's his. He allows me to breathe it. You know? There's no extremes to being thankful to God and his grace and his goodness. He is worthy. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for his word. Thanking him for his Holy Spirit for guidance. Thanking him for a wonderful congregation to fellowship with, to be strengthened in. I thank him for my pastor. I thank him for my brothers on the elders board. I thank him for the deacons. You see? I thank him for the lives he changes week after week after week. This is his work. He reveals himself through you to me. And hopefully, amongst yourselves, he is revealed. He should be. Over the years that we've been here, I've watched people transform who hadn't done that, who hadn't really submitted themselves to him in the past. But I've seen changes in a lot of people here. None greater than myself. thank him that he doesn't have to do it. I know what I deserve, but he still gives me mercy. I thank him for mercy. Next is intercessory prayer. Now, what the elders do when we meet, we have photographs of most of you here. And we get several of them each. And while we have those photographs, we are praying for you. We're praying for your walk in Christ. As we check up on you, we pray for any things that you might have concern and need of. As believers in Jesus Christ, we should be concerned about each and every other believer's burdens. And we keep them in prayer. Keep a list. You know, we have people who are ill. You know, as the Lord brings them to heart, pray for them. I pray for each and every one of you, your walk in Christ. Because I know it's difficult. I know the things that I face. So I pray for each of you. Because I know that the devil is out there wanting to make each of us fall. Trinity Baptist Church is a threat to Satan. Because we are chiefly concerned into his word, about his word, about each and every one of you, not just hearing his word, but learning to love his word. A Christian who loves his word is a dangerous, dangerous soul to Satan. So you will be attacked. You will be. It's a given. So I pray for you. Pray for me. Yeah. Keep regular listings as people come to your memory. That's intercessory prayer. When we go to the Lord on behalf of another saint, when we go to the Lord on behalf of those who are not saved, when we pray for those who are unsaved, what should our very first breath of prayer be? Lord, humble their hearts so they might know you. For salvation's sake. See, my prayer for every unsaved person is, Lord, don't let them sleep peaceably until they come to know you and have peace with you. That's my first prayer. Those who I've witnessed to, who have not come to a place where they can see the Lord in their lives, I pray that prayer. That they will never have peace until they have come to walk in peace with you through Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins and placing their full trust in him. Now, supplications. These are other prayerful concerns, both personal and outward. It could be situations. Just the things that are heaviest on your heart, your supplications. Just, and once again, like Thanksgiving, that can go on and on and on and on. Yeah. It's okay to pray exhaustively. If you have the time, don't get up until you know you're finished. Amen. You know? I mean, I know there's some in here who've sat down for an hour or two. Some just a few minutes, but I found that when I first started doing devotions, it was about 5 or 10 minutes. Then you start growing, and as you're growing, you're realizing the things that God is concerned about. You're watching the way he is growing you, developing you in holiness. And so your prayers become more extended. Your reading time becomes more extended. I start with our daily bread. Then I want something else. So I'll go to another devotion and read the scripture. Now, some of the devotionals, I'm kind of jumping on here a little bit and apologize, but I don't mean to lose anyone. Okay. You notice that some of the devotionals might give a little passage of prayer. I'm sorry, a passage of scripture. And then you go on and read the commentary. I invite you to do this. Go back a few verses and paragraphs. Even the previous chapter, and then work your way back down to the memory verse that they give you. By the time you get there, you may not even need to read the commentary. You see? The Word of God speaks for itself. The commentaries are wonderful helps. What I'm saying is, don't rely on the commentaries. Learn to love the Word of God. Learn to live by the Word of God. What your devotional time does, it sets the pace and the tone for your daily walk. When you are armored up in the morning, you're ready to take on Satan and the world. Because you will be attacked. You will be. And the deeper you are in the Spirit of God through His Word and prayer, the greater threat you are. Because as you suit up regularly, as you're in His Word regularly and prayed up regularly, you stand a good chance of talking to somebody else about Him. Satan hates that. He hates that. You're a stronger witness. You're sharing to someone else what He is doing for you. All this through a little time in the morning before you either have your coffee. I gotta have my coffee with my devotion, by the way. Covering your face back there. I thank the Lord for those two, because they do bring me my coffee in the morning when they know I'm having the time. Yeah. But you are a threat. A soldier who is armored up and ready fights the most fiercely. And even if you fall, you don't stay there. Should you fall, you get up. You have the strength to get up. Reconnect and go on. The difference between a true convert and a false convert, the false convert will stay there. Will stay there. Allowing himself to be beaten up, destroyed, revealing that his armor was made of paper. But the believer in Jesus Christ, the true soldier, might get a little kink in the armor. The sword, you know, may fall, but you come back up, ready to fight further. You clean off, resharpen. Check your shield. You prepare daily for battle through the time you spend with the Lord. Let it be morning, let it be evening. It's all right. Let it be daily. And one more time of prayer that I spend is for the martyred church of Jesus Christ. I I remember them by making them the very last that I pray for. Africa, the Middle East, China, Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe, South America, and now in North America is a place called Chiapas, Mexico, where persecution of the church is rampant and heavy. First North American city ever mentioned and labeled under the Voice of the Martyrs map of the martyrs. I pray over those nations and continents daily. I pray for the pastors who have to go, who have several churches that they pastor, who travel from village to village. I pray for the families of those pastors who have been martyred, that they will be embraced by the churches near them and taken care of, the wives and the children. I pray for those who are already in jail, interned, that they will be a witness not only to the fellow prisoners, but to the guards that point the guns their way. And ultimately to the leaders of those nations that allow those hostilities. These are my daily prayers in my devotional time. I pray for the saints who inevitably may die that day, that they will be encouraged to know that you, that the Lord will receive them with open arms. And they will walk into a cheering crowd of ongone saints and angels. I am not a super spiritual holy man. I do this because I'm not. I do this because I am half a step away from messing up badly, because I'm still in the flesh, but I'm in his word. I have support from a loving wife. I have a young girl right here that needs to be encouraged to grow in Christ. One more thing. Parents, teach it to your children. Show them how to spend that time in the Lord. Teach them how to pray. From time to time, talk over the devotion with them. See where their understanding lies. Invite them to discuss it with you at any time. This is the way I spend devotional time. Hopefully there's something in there that you can use. Brother, I will now hand your pulpit over. Hallelujah. Amen.
How about that? All right. I'm going to wrap this up. Would you please turn with me to Psalm 119? I want to read this incredibly powerful passage of Scripture and simply explain to you what I do for my devotions. And we will wrap up our series on personal quiet time. Psalm 119. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Why is it so important, Trinity Baptist, to read the Bible every day? Verse 11 says it. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. The Hebrew word hide is the word sapan. Sapan. And according to one of the dictionaries that I have, it means to conceal something for a purpose. To conceal something for a purpose. A good example is Moses. Moses was concealed for a purpose. He was hidden for his protection. Charles Spurgeon, the Puritan, says this, his heart, not Moses's, but the man who hides the word in his heart, his heart will be kept by the word because the word is in his heart. David prayed in verse 10, keep me from wandering from your commands. And here is how we keep from wandering away from God's commands. We treasure them in our hearts. We treasure them in our hearts. Charles Spurgeon again says this, he, that is the man who treasured the word of God, he did not wear the word on his heart as a charm, but he treasured the word in his heart as a rule. And that's the difference. And our question, Saku's question to you, Michael's question to you, Ben's question to you, Carrie's question to you, and my question to you is, in 2010, will you treasure the word in your heart? What do I do for quiet time? Each brother has shared what they do for quiet time. What I do for quiet time, I've shared with you all several times. I, of course, go on a walk. And the reason I go on a walk, there are two reasons I go on a walk. Number one is I don't want to get drowsy while I am praying. Life is hard. All of us get up early. All of us stay up late. All of us are tired. And I have found that if I sit quietly in my room and pray, I cannot pray very long. It's that simple. The other reason is what Brother Carey alluded to. When you start out, you pray for just a few minutes. And I have found that if I just sit and I pray for all the things I can think of, I run out of things to think of. And when I run out of things to think of, I go on to something else. But if I'm walking, I have a destination that I'm going to, and I always run out of things to pray about before I arrive at my destination. But you know what happens when I stop talking? The Lord brings to my mind things I need to think about. I read this book. This is the Bible. It is only the Bible. There is nothing else to it. It is the one-year Bible. How is it laid out? It's laid out very simply. Very, very simply. It's laid out according to date. You open up to the day, and every day there is a reading in the Old Testament, a reading in the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. This is spiritual food. And I have found that if I am constantly reading the Old Testament and the New Testament and a psalm and a proverb, I get up in the morning and I have spiritual meat, potatoes, vegetables, and dessert. It is a full spiritual meal. I never, ever, ever want to go a long period of time without reading the Old Testament. I never want to go a long period of time without reading the New Testament. I never want to go a long period of time without reading Psalms or Proverbs. This exposes me to it constantly, all four. And it's wonderful. Trinity Baptist, the most important, the most valuable methods of quiet time. Listen, we've talked about a lot of methods. The best methods will lead you to read the entire Bible cover to cover. It is absolutely necessary. Whatever method you choose, you must eventually read every single word of the Bible. Every single word. As I read this book, I am so sad for Christians that I know will never, ever read Leviticus, will never read Numbers, will never read Ezra or Isaiah or Ezekiel or Amos or Zechariah. These books don't come up very often, if at all, in many devotional methods. And Trinity Baptist, you need every verse. You need every verse. They are not extra. They are not bonus material. I read through some of these books like Amos or Zechariah or Leviticus or some of these rarely mentioned books, and I'll read something and my heart is overwhelmed with joy over the encouragement, and my heart breaks because I know that thousands and thousands of Christians will never read the words I just read. You have to read every single word. I use this method because if I use this method every year, I read every single word, not just once, not just twice, but over and over and over again. I use this method because of the great variety. The great variety. Sometimes if you read the Old Testament, you read and you read and you read and you read and you read, and eventually, you, because we are human, it is certainly not because of the material, but because we are human, you start to go through a dry spell in your quiet times. And when I used other methods, I'd be reading the Old Testament, old for months. And I started to go through this dry spell, and I found that if I set it aside and picked up the New Testament, oh man, I'm excited. And then I read the New Testament for a long, long time, and then that starts to get dry, so I pick up the Old Testament again, and oh, it's like brand new, and I'm excited. And with this, there's all this variety. You read the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and a Proverb. I'll be honest with you, when I started doing it, I read the entire thing. You know what I do now? I read half a day's reading. Because I cannot, it's too much. You read three or four chapters in the Old Testament and you really think about it and really think about how it applies to your life. And that's enough. And right now it takes me more than 2 years to read this because I read the Old Testament one day, which is three or four chapters, and then I'll read the next day, I'll read the New Testament, the Psalm, and the Proverb. And I find it perfect for me personally. You've got to do what works for you. The important thing is, read the whole thing. The second thing I do, quickly, and you're aware of this already, is I pray through this book, and that's Operation World, laid out very similar to the one-year Bible. This is not the Bible. This is just a prayer book. And it also is laid out by date, and it gives you a country of the day. And I find, I find that this book focuses me on what I should truly be praying about. I've mentioned this several times to you, but because of our humanness, our prayers tend to be self-focused. And I found that I would spend all of my time praying about me. And if not me, people that touch my life. I would most certainly pray for my beautiful wife. I'd most certainly pray for my kids. I'd most certainly pray for you. But notice it's all about me. My life, my wife, my family, my church. This focuses me. This focuses me. To be quite honest, I pray for you better because of this book. My prayers for you are more important and more pinpointed right where they need to be because of this book. It gives you a country of the day. I want to ask you a question. What would the result be if every single one of us at some point today prayed for the same country and the same requests? What would the result be? What would the result be? The first country in the book is Afghanistan. What would the result be if every single one of us at some point today prayed for Afghanistan? What would the result be? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I'd love to find out. I'd love to find out. Brother Jeremy, can you grab Samuel and come up here? Or Samuel, can you grab Jeremy and come up here? Somebody grab somebody else. I need your help. However that works, that's great. I don't want to just end this right now. Brothers, the brothers have poured their hearts out to you about the importance of treasuring the word in your heart in 2010. And I don't want to just dismiss you and say, think about that. I want you to make a commitment. I want you to make a commitment. I've got these cards here. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And it says very simply, I want to grow spiritually in 2010. And there's a commitment card that you can check. There's a commitment square that you can check. It says, I commit to having a daily quiet time in 2010. And I'd like an elder to support me throughout the year. Brothers, would you pass these out, please? When you get the card, I'd like you to take a few moments to pray. This is a very, very serious commitment. Please do not turn in the card if you do not want to make this commitment, because I promise you this, an elder will support you throughout the year. So if you don't want to make the commitment, then don't turn in the card. The Hebrew word sapan is the word treasure or hide, and it's to hide something with a purpose. And I want you to think about this. I hide the word in my heart, not so that it cannot be found, but so that I will not be lost. You need to hide the word in your heart, and I trust that 2010 is the year that you will do it. Pray a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for an opportunity we have to start out 2010 with each elder sharing their hearts with us. I pray for each person right now that you would call them to make this commitment. I know that every single person should.